What's up, and welcome to the Real Life Podcast. Real Life is the student ministry of North Highland Church located in Columbus, Georgia. We exist to reach others with the love of God, engage in Christian community, advance in our faith, and lead others to Christ. For more information about Real Life, you can visit us at reallifecolumbus.com or follow us on all social media platforms at Real Life Columbus. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoy.
We love you so much. Real Life, you are looking good tonight. We love you so much. I love confidence. Somebody just said, I know. That's pretty awesome. God bless you tonight. My name is Jonathan. I introduced myself earlier. If I have not gotten to know you yet, I would absolutely love to get to know you better. If this is your first time, welcome tonight. We are so glad you're here. If you come back next week, you are family, and that's what we believe. We love you guys, and I have the honor and privilege tonight to introduce and close out our series with an incredible man of God whom I love with all of my heart. I am so proud of all the accomplishments that he has in his life, and I'm so excited because God has only just begun to use him in a significant way to change the very fabric of this world. One of the people I am most proud of and so glad to be able to partner together in ministry with, can we please welcome to the stage to preach down the house tonight, Pastor Justin Gaston. Give it up.
Oh, hi. I love you. So I'm gonna use this, and I'm gonna come down here. I like, it's going to be close. How you doing, guys?
Hi, how are you?
So, thank you, Pastor Jonathan, for allowing me to speak. For those of you that don't know me, I am Justin Gaston. I am the college pastor here at North Highland. I'm the director of CLC Georgia, the college that is here at North Highland. But all the college-age students, all the people, they're all my kids. I know you guys aren't kids, but I call people, you're my kids. So, like, you know, if you go to CSU, you're my kid. If you go to CLC, you're my kid. If you don't go to college, you're my kid. So I love all of the college. I love Real Life, too. You don't know, me and Pastor Jonathan got some history. When I was in ministry school myself, he was my, I interned under him when he was like a youth pastor in Griffin, Georgia. So it was a long time ago we've gone through, and so it's been a really good time. So I'm super excited to close out this series talking about living our best lives. Is anybody excited to live their best life? Is anybody living the best life? You know, like, you know, living your best life. Yeah, you know, I try to live my best life. You know, like sometimes, like, you ever been online and been on like Instagram or something, and people are like, you know, the perfect, you know, living your best life scenario. It's like, you know what, you wake up, you get up, there's a sunrise, you get up early before everybody else, you got to snap a pic of that, post it on Instagram, you know, living my best life. You know, extra points if you catch the sunrise on a hike or a run, so you got to tell people, I'm active, you still in bed, so living my best life. Then you if you go to a healthy store, you get a green drink or a latte, gotta take a picture of that, hashtag living my best life, you know, doing things, you know. And then, you know, you have to post a video of, you know, like you walking your dog that's like a pure breed Australian Shepherd, and those other people got those mixed dogs, and so I gotta live my best life, let people know, okay? And then when you go out to dinner, you know, all your friends are getting like 4 for 4s, thank God for 4 for 4, everybody love 4 for 4? Yes, yeah, but you don't post pictures of your 4 for 4. You go to, when you go out, you get a steak, and you go, living my best life. All y'all in your 4 for 4s, I got my steak. All right, and so we like to portray, you know, when good things are happening in our life. We like to show people, right? You know, we like to get it out there, let them know what's happening. So I was a little curious about what people thought their best life was, and so I went on Instagram, and just so you know, The hashtag living my best life has 2.2 million posts as of this morning. And so a lot of people are living their best lives. So can we put the first picture up? This is some pho. Apparently, pho. No, it's actually pho, but, you know, it's pho. It's pho. Okay, so that is, my wife really likes that stuff. That is not living my best life to me. Next picture. Yes. Yeah, if you can read the caption that closely says the best looking six pack I've seen in a while. Yes, Amen. They are truly living their best life. The next picture, there's the latte. You know, when you're in a nice coffee shop, you got to take some pictures of people and be like, I paid $20 for this latte. You still go to Starbucks. So living my best life. Next picture. And so the caption of this is matching. He is really proud that his car matches shoes. You know, and so for you sneakerheads, he is wearing some Human Race, the Adidas Human Race. And those are like $200 shoes. And so he's happy. He's probably in debt, but he's happy, you know. The next picture. And so I used to live in Miami. So she is on Ocean Drive in Miami, living her best life. She probably is a tourist and don't really live there. And that car's not hers, I bet. She was walking by and she was like, ooh, that's nice. Let me take a picture and fool my Instagram people. Let them know I'm living my best life. Next picture. My guy, Paul. All right, that's my guy, Paul. All right, he is truly living his best life. He says he's waiting on Jesus, chilling. Look at, he kind of laying over like, come on. He probably got writer's block. He was writing the Bible. And he was like, man, my hand kind of hurt. Oh, you saw Daniel. Daniel commented on there. Jonah is on there. Jordan, my sister, you commented on that picture. So did my wife, you know, like waiting on God. You're doing some things. But I want to talk to you guys tonight about some things that Paul said to Timothy. We're going to be reading out of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. So if you got your Bibles, your paper Bibles. Anybody got a paper Bible here? Oh, yes. Wow. We're proud of. Yes. Come on, Teen Challenge, with your paper Bibles. Anybody got an iPhone Bible? Put your iPhone Bibles up. Yes. Praise. Anybody got an Android Bible? Okay, put it down. Put it down. Put it down. Put it down. I'm just joking. We like your Android. It's fine. It's fine. All right. So we're going to read out 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. All right. I solemnly urge you, in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead, when he comes to set up his kingdom, preach the word of God and be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to the sound and the wholesome teaching that will follow, and they will follow their own desires and look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject truth and chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Do not be afraid of the suffering. Do not be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. Verse 6 says, as for me in my life, I has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord Jesus, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his approaching. Tonight, we're going to be talking about how to live your best life by leaving a legacy. How to live your best life by leaving a legacy. All right, a legacy is not something for people. It is something you leave in people. All right. A legacy is not leaving something for people. It's leaving something inside of people. Dear Lord, I pray right now that you would have your way in the service. I pray that you would use me and you would speak through me. I pray all the words that come out of my mouth are not from Justin Gaston, but they are from you and they're directly for each and every person that is within the sound of my voice. I thank you and I praise you. And it's in Jesus' name, let everybody say amen. Are you guys ready for the word of God tonight? Okay, no, see, okay. So I'm very interactive, and you guys sounded really bored, and I'm going to try it again. And if you're quiet again, I'm just going to keep doing this until, like, I get a roaring applause of I want to hear some Jesus, all right? So are you guys ready to hear from Jesus tonight? Yeah! All right. We're going to jump in to the word of God, all right? So how do you leave a legacy? How do you leave a legacy? Like, how do you live a life that is worth telling people about? All right. And verse 6 and 7 is this is Paul again. Like my guy Paul. Can you put my guy Paul back up there? My dude. That's my dude. He's chilling. All right. At this point, he probably got a little rattled. He's like Timothy, bro. I'm trying to tell you how to do this. You ain't listening. And he looked a little distressed. He's like, bro, okay, come on. So in verses 6 through 7, he says, as for me and my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have poured out I have remained faithful. Tonight, we have 3 points, 3 steps. Fight the good fight. Say, fight the good fight. Finish the race. Remain faithful. Fight the good fight. Finish the race. Remain faithful. All right, so we're going to talk about fighting the good fight is our first point. How do you fight the good fight? If you want to leave a legacy, you got to learn how to fight. You better knuck if you buck. You better put your hands up. We're going to throw elbows. Like, I ain't giving up. Devil, you ain't going to take my family. You got to be willing to fight for what you want, all right? You can't let the enemy come into your life and get you down. You cannot let this world tear you down and just stand there and take it. All right, if you're walking down the road and someone grabs your purse, ladies, you're just going to be like, okay, here you go. No. Then you're going to say, oh, get off me. No. You might not be strong, but you're going to start scratching and biting and kicking and doing something. You're going to be like, hey, take my money. You know, gentlemen, if you're walking with your lady and someone trying to do something, you're just going to let it happen. No, you're going to say, get off. Like, you're going to do something. And so many times we live our lives and the devil is coming after us and we're just like, man, that stinks. Dang it, devil. You know, when we get passionate and angry if our football team loses, we get mad and we see videos of people throwing things. We get angry when someone says, beats us in Madden online. We're like, dang it, man. You know, we get mad when we go to H&M and that dress we wanted is sold out. We said, Or when we get them new shoes and you walk in and everybody's wearing checker Vans. You like, come on, man. I thought I was the only one that had these shoes. If we can get so angry and welled up about the things like that, why don't we get mad when the devil tries to come after our lives? Why don't we get mad and angry when the devil's trying to say, you know what, I want to get you down? Why don't we get a little angry when he tries to come after our families, come after our loved ones, tries to stop us and slow us down? Real life tonight, can we get mad at the devil? Can we be willing to fight? Can we be willing to say, I will do something big for the kingdom of God? We have to be willing to fight. The most important phrase in living your best life is your. All right? Strip away the Instagram filters and all the other things and look at what you truly do value honestly. What are you living your life for? What are you living your life for? When you identify what you are truly living for, you understand what you're fighting for. When you identify what you are truly living for, you can understand what is worth fighting for. If you're living for this world, you're not going to be willing to fight when things get tough. But if you're living for other people, for your brothers and sisters in Christ, when you see them failing, when you see them down and stressed and worried, you're willing to fight. You're willing to get down in the trenches. You're willing to do some big things for their lives because you understand the value in fighting for what you believe in. You understand the value of what truly is living your best life. You want to leave something inside of people. So you're not worried about what's happening with you. You're worrying about reaching other people with the love of God. You're worrying about truly engaging in Christian community, not just showing up. You really do want to advance in your faith. And most of all, you want to learn how to lead others to Christ. Salvation, a walk with God, is so beautiful. Why do we hold it to ourselves? Why do we hold it to ourselves? It is something worth fighting for, amen? It is something that we should be passionate about. It is something that we should want more than anything else, to fight for what we believe in. So I ask you tonight, what do you believe in? What is your? When you strip out all the things that may look cool, what do you truly care about? Because I promise, if you're not willing to fight, the devil is. He is coming to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to get you down. He wants to mess you up. And he wants to see you not live a life. But tonight, if you identify what you are truly passionate about, you can fight a fight and you can put the devil in his place and say, get thee behind me, Satan. I won't take another thing from you. I am standing up and I'm going to see amazing things happen. I'm going to see salvations. I'm going to see the Lord do great and mighty things. Tonight, are you willing to fight? You have to shift your focus from God, what can you do for me, to what will you do through me? Stop worrying about what God can give you. He's not a piggy bank, all right? He's not something like, oh, I just got to crack that up when I need something, scrape up the change, and then go get, like, you know, if I can I buy a taco with this? I'm like, oh, man. You know, like, you know, when I'm desperate, I go to the piggy bank, you know, because I don't got nothing in my bank account. I'm not making deposits. Someone's got that piggy bank Christianity. You know, when we're just desperate, we crack up at the piggy bank, and we're like, oh, man, I got some pennies. I'll pray right now. I'll do this. But if you're making daily deposits, if you're putting something in the bank every single day, when things happen, you have something to withdraw. You have something to slap down and say, you know what? I'm going to, God, you're there. If I'm making daily deposits into the account, if you're praying, if you're seeking wise counsel, if you're coming to real life, if you're going to church, you're putting money in the bank. So when the devil tries to make a random bill comes up, you say, oh, that's fine. I got money. I don't know about y'all. You know, I'm fine. You know, you're willing, you're ready. We have to not have that piggy bank type Christianity. When the going gets tough, we just kind of crack it open and be like, this is what I got. And I guess, how do you pray again? Jesus loves me this. No, that ain't it. You know, God, you have to know. Practice. Study to show yourself approved. Be willing to go the next level. This is not a fight that you can win on Twitter. This is not something you can do on Snapchat. This is a fight that can only be won in this altar. If you want to leave a legacy, start by leaving everything else at the altar. If you want to leave a legacy, start by leaving everything else, all your baggage, all your worry, all your doubt, all your fear. Leave it at the altar. I love the song. It says, oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. That is so beautiful. Some of us have never truly known what forgiveness is. Some of us haven't really able to, like, truly put all the bitterness, the hurt, the brokenness behind us and walk like a man or woman of God. If you want to leave a legacy, leave something behind inside of people, have people be able to know about you, your life cannot be about you. I'm not talking about leaving a legacy so, like, people are like, yeah, Justin Gaston, he was a great guy. I don't care if people know my name. I just want to love people, to pour into people, and to show people how to be awesome. And if they can take that and teach other people how to do it, that is leaving a legacy. Leave a legacy of your actions, your love, so people want to be more like Jesus. Leave a legacy that is the face of Jesus, not your face. Leave a legacy that is when people are going to go back to how great God is. I don't care if people know who I am as long as they know who he is. That is the power of leaving a legacy. An imprint on someone that's going to last forever. Something that people are going to be talking about. And again, it's not attached to a person, but it's attached to the bigger picture. Carve your name on people's hearts. Carve your name on people's hearts. And let them know that you love them, that you truly do care about them, and that you are there, and you want to see them. You want them to live their best lives. We're only going to live our best lives when we're there for one another. Running the race together. Doing this thing together. My next point is finish the race. Everybody say, finish the race. You have to finish the race. You cannot give up. If you give up, you made the work easy for the enemy. If you give up, he's like, oh, cool. I don't got to do nothing. They're not even going to fight. They're not even running. This is easy. Verse 1 says, I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Jesus Christ, who will someday judge the living and the dead, when he comes to set up his kingdom. Verse 2, preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. From the moment we step foot on this earth, we are running a race, whether you're prepared or not. You know, life is not a race of convenience. It does not start when you tell it to. You know, things don't just start happening. You're like, you know what, I'm ready to deal with this. I want to be an adult. You know, when you graduate college and you start doing things, the bills just start to come. You're like, I was just paying for my phone. And now all this stuff happening. What? You know, you got to start adulting faster than you ever realized. But life is always coming. You're always making decisions. You know, should I go out with this guy? Should I go to prom? What shoes am I going to wear? You know, am I going to church? Do I want to be a Christian? There's people say I shouldn't be a Christian. All these things are happening. They're going by. You're making decisions. Whether you're going to be a part of something, whether you're going to say yes, whether you're going to say no, whether you're going to give in to temptation, whether you're going to come to the altar. Your life is going a mile a minute. You're just making decisions. Things are happening. We are all running this race of life, and it's flying past us. The times will get hard. The devil will try to stop you from living your best life. And some of us are running this race, but we're getting veered off. And the destination has been going to somewhere we don't want to go. But you have to keep running the race of righteousness, running the race that God has set out for you. It says, preach the word of God, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. Stop hiding God from your people. Start being real with your friends. Stop not telling people, hey, where are you going on Wednesday night? You know, I'm just going to hang out. No, I'm going to real life. I'm going to where God is. I'm going to worship. I'm going to have fun. We're going to eat peace and do all that stuff. But we're going to see some life change too. Be open. Be real. Real life. Talk to people about what God is doing. Do not give up on your people. There are some people that are popping in your head right now, like, I had that friend, you know, he said he's never coming to church. He said he's never going to do that. He'll never change. Don't limit God. Don't limit what God can do inside of your family, inside of your friends. Keep running the race that God has set out for you, and I guarantee that God will show up and show out. God will amaze you with what he can do through you if you allow him to, if you keep going, if you don't give up, if you don't just allow the enemy to just get you down, to get you to quit. You have to keep going. You have to keep running. You're going to get tired. You're going to get weary. Things are going to be thrown at you. You're going to want to stop. But remember that the Lord is your defender. Remember again, we're not running this race by ourselves anymore. We have people on our right and our left. We have Pastor Jonathan. We have Jubilee. We have all these other mentors that are going to hold us up. When we get tired, they're going to pick us up and say, you know what? I've been on this leg of the race before. We're going to keep going. I've been where you're at. We can get through this. I've been here, but we're going to get there. Don't give up on what God has for your life because you get a little tired. Lay it at the altar. Get refreshed. Make those deposits because you get tired in the race because, again, you're living on a piggy bank. You can't buy what you need with pennies and dimes. But you need to make some big deposits. And I guarantee that God's going to give you that return on investment. You're going to be amazed at what God does when you invest some stock in him and not in your sin. That rhymed. I just want to do that. Okay, so you got to make some really healthy deposits and things that are going to change you. Make some really, really wise choices. It's hard. Now, I've been in high school before, you know, and people are judgmental. People want to call you out. People want to put you in a box. People want to label you and tell you this and that. I'm going to tell you something I tell students all the time. No one knows what God is doing in you and through you, but you. Your identity is in you, yourself. Christ made you beautiful. Ladies, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are beautiful. You're awesome. And I don't care what any guy, anybody says about you, you got it going on, girl. You look good, all right? Yeah, gentlemen, don't be embarrassed to be a gentleman. Don't be embarrassed to stand up and say, you know what? I'm going to be awesome. I'm going to take care of this girl. I'm going to take her somewhere. I'm going to do something nice. Yes, yes, you know? You got some passionate ladies, you know? If you guys can be gentlemen, you might get a girlfriend, you know? Praise them. You know, if you're allowed to date, you know, if you're not allowed to date, then don't take that, all right? I'm going to tell you guys a story. I love stories, if you know me. I'm really passionate about telling stories. I like them a lot. And so yesterday, I was getting ready for this message. I was writing things down. I was doing this stuff. And all of a sudden, I get a phone call. The phone rings, and actually, it was like, hello. And it was like, Justin? I said, yes. And he said, this is the IRS. First of all, the IRS doesn't call you. So if anybody calls you saying that the IRS, they're not the IRS. But he said, this is IRS. And so if you know me at all, too, I love messing with people that prank call me. Like, I really do. Like, one time, somebody called Pastor Rachel, and I took her phone, and I was like, they're like, hey, you just won $1,000 or whatever. And I was like, okay, do you need my Social Security information? Like, I was just, like, playing into it. Like, what do you need? And the guy was like, like, because he thought I was going to be, like, a dumb grandma or something. But, you know, I love messing with people. So I immediately started to think, like, how could I mess with somebody? But I didn't know the person on the phone was, like, messing with me, too. And so, like, they were clever, and I was trying to be clever, and so it didn't really work. Long story short, it ended up being my friend, Clen. He is somebody that I haven't talked to in, like, 7 years, maybe? Okay, no, not that long. I saw him in Texas one time, so it's probably 5 years. All right, so I haven't talked to Clen in a long time, all right? So he calls me, and he says, Justin, you know, I was just praying for you, and I just decided that I would call you and see how you're doing. And we ended up talking for a long time to see how he's doing, see how his wife is doing. It was really this great conversation about how he's a senior pastor now in Cleveland, Ohio, doing some amazing things. I told him about CLC and all the stuff happening here in North Highland in real life, and it was a good talk. And at the end, he really just kind of encouraged me and told me that he believed in everything that I was doing, and that it then when I hung up the phone, it just reminded me of the spiritual deposits that Clen made in my life. And I have never told a story about Clen. I have never talked about Clen. His name wasn't there, but what he did in me will live forever. A Clen, to put in perspective, was the first person that called me and was like, hey, I want you to pray over the offering. And I was like, You know, I had never done it before. I had never been on stage. I had never held a mic. He was the first person that said, I want you to do this. And I remember calling a whole bunch of people. I remember being like, how do I do what? What do I do? And he wouldn't think that because now, like, give me the mic. I'll talk. I'll do it. Let's go. But then I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. But Clen believed in me. And Clen made that deposit, and he left a legacy in my life. And maybe I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing if he wasn't the one to say, hey, you know what? I think you can, and I'm going to give you the opportunity. And that is what you have the opportunity to do every single day in your friends and your family members, is believe in them, is push them, is to make those deposits in their life. And again, they might not know the person's name, but you're not doing it for accolades. You're not doing it so people say, oh, yeah, you're awesome. You're doing it so you want to see the kingdom of God be built. You're doing it because you want to leave something hereafter that's not just an Instagram post. It's not just something on Snapchat. But something that's really going to change people's lives far after you're gone. The legacy you leave is defined by the life that you live. The legacy that you leave is defined by the life that you live. What are you going to leave behind? Are you living a life that people are going to talk about? Are you just living a life that, you know, people are like, yeah, he was cool. But are you really trying to change people's lives? Are you trying to see something bigger happen? Are you making real spiritual deposits? Are you just cracking open the piggy bank when things get tough? We need to be so serious about what God can do inside of our lives. We need to be willing to leave everything at this altar. We need to be willing to do what we need to do. My final point tonight is to remain faithful. We need to remain faithful. Are you making a positive impact or a passive one? Are you truly impacting people's lives? Are you just letting their sin go by? Because I tell you right now, that's almost just as bad. To see someone living in sin, to see someone dying, to see someone that is broken, is to be like, well, I'm good. We need to really, if you want to live a life that leaves a legacy, you need to make a positive impact on your friends. You need to be making deposits in people's lives. You need to want to see amazing things happen in real life. We have to get together and understand that we are not alone. That we can do this, that we can come together as a family, as a body of Christ, and leave a legacy on this city. God can use this room to change this world. If you believe that you can do it, then God is going to use you. But if you're just being passive and you're like, you know, whatever, you know, it might happen. No, it will happen. Because when you get in your mind that you are a child of God, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, handcrafted to do exceedingly and abundantly more than you have ever asked, thought, or imagined, that's when big things start to happen. That's when life change starts to happen. But we can't be scared. We can't be scared. So do we remember our 3 points tonight? Our 3 points were we are going to fight the good fight and then finish the race and remain faithful. If the band can join me up here. We're going to fight the good fight. We're going to finish the race, and we're going to remain faithful. Real life tonight, I want to urge you. We're going to do an altar call. We're going to have a time of prayer. And if you want to leave a legacy on people, one of my points is to leave everything else at this altar. I've been in that chair. I've sat in those seats. I've had someone say, you know, hey, we're going to pray. We're going to do something. And I've been like, you know, that's not me. No, I don't need that. I'm fine. When really I was dying on the inside. I wanted nothing more but to come up to the altar, but I was glued to my seat for fear. I was glued to my seat because I didn't want to admit that I might have some problems. You know, if you figured out how to be perfect, please raise your hand, write a book, you're gonna make millions. But we all have problems. We're all going through things. We're all running the same race. Things happen to all of us. So tonight, if you have any need, it's gonna leave it open. If you have a need and you just want to pray, we're gonna open up these altars because we need to leave those things at the altar so that we can start living a life that's going to imprint joy, love, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If my leaders can join me on stage, I want you guys to remain seated too, all the students right now. Ladies are joining me on stage. I want you to another representation of how you are not alone. These are men and women of Christ that love you, that care about you, that want to pray with you. They don't come up here because they want to look cool. They come up here because they want to see your lives changed. They want to see something big happen. So don't let the enemy convince you that you are alone in this fight, that you have nothing to run after. Again, you are not alone. We are going to fight the good fight together. We are going to see things happen. And I know that you are going to be great men and women of God that are going to leave a legacy. So stand up on your feet tonight.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed, make sure you hit the subscribe button for our weekly sermons, and don't forget to follow us on social media for updates. If you have any prayer requests, feel free to email us at reallifecolumbus@gmail.com. We'd love to partner with you in prayer. Be sure to tune in next week on the Real Life Podcast.